Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Larry Larson.
And we are talking about a lot of stuff today. First thing, gotta start off with some of the bigger announcements, is the new tool, WebMatrix.
Yeah.
So this thing, free tool, it's like 15 megs to download. The beta is available right now. The goal is to do two things. One is, if you have sites like WordPress, Embraco, those sort of things, or template sites like blogengine.net, this allows you to download them, run them, does all the dependencies, kind of like WebPI, but you can actually look at the code, and it's got some SEO reporting tools. And the next thing is actually building custom apps using the Razor syntax. So I interviewed Simon Calvert and Scott Hunter on this. It's like an hour-long video. I did put in time markers because it was way too long, and I don't want to be, you know.
I like the time markers.
Yes, yes, and hopefully we'll one day get a player where we can like jump to that spot.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I knew this was important when I saw it on Channel 9 because you'd come out of retirement to do the interview.
Why? What do you mean come out of retirement?
Well, I don't usually see you doing a lot of interviews here in the studio. It's usually This Week on Channel 9, so. I was sure to watch the whole thing.
Ouch. That burns. That burns. But there's a lot of cool stuff, and I think the major point is on the part of WebMatrix is we're building something that's really great for beginners.
Yeah.
So if you're familiar with HTML, I almost...
When you say familiar with HTML, what level of web developer would be able to jump in on this?
It's somebody that is doing HTML, right? So it's like, you know, they're familiar with CSS, some level of CSS, can at least copy paste JavaScript.
Yeah.
And are familiar with HTML tags and probably standards-based development. And really what we see is there's a lot of people that do at HTML and JavaScript are the number one and number two used languages like non-pros. So the idea is this allows you, I'd say macros over HTML is maybe one way to say it. But the idea is you can programmatically build HTML tags by, say, looping through some variable list of items in a database and then spitting them out. So this isn't really anything that new for developers. The idea here is it's a return to our old school classic ASP or, you know, in some competitor tools, PHP tools.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we make things easier for people to build their first application?
And so in your video, you actually walk through starting a project. So if you've never done anything before, you can just start there.
Yeah, yeah. And the other cool thing is these things called content helpers. So the idea is normally when we build these APIs, we'll build them where it's really complex. You have to know, we return an instance of an object or a reference to a stream, and then you have to, you know, read, write, blah, blah, blah. This is very much like the My APIs in VB or old school procedural libraries where I have a class I basically call, you know, Facebook, get friends, and I get a list of friends back, for example, with links to them. So just very sort of simple APIs for the most common tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And those are extensible. In fact, we're looking to build some for coding for fun and stuff like that.
So. Nice.
So WebMatrix is the big news. And Razor, which is that simplified syntax that is used for building those custom applications. There's a guy on the ASP.NET team that talks about how they actually built the Razor parser so that it's actually smart about when something is code versus HTML, because it needs to obviously do different things depending on which context it's in.
Yeah.
So how it does the context switching and depending on what it's reading in and yada, yada, yada. So kind of interesting. If you're a parser nerd, this is going to be...
I consider myself a parser nerd.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Silverlight Media Framework 2.0. Yeah, it was released this week. And so we've talked about this for some time. This is the same framework that we use for Channel 9 Live.
Yeah.
So it includes a sample player that people can get started with. and you can get it now.
Yeah, the idea is if you're looking to do that wonderful smooth streaming, you know, like in the Olympics where you have, you know, the super high quality, medium quality, low quality, mm-hmm. can automatically change. This does all the work for you. It's the framework that does all of it for you and includes that default player, which you can then customize and do whatever you want with. But this is like the building blocks that you'd need to get started with. So cool stuff. And again, it's open source. So, Scott Hanselman, it's kind of a Scott Hanselman week.
It is.
Yeah.
It is Scott Hanselman week.
Yeah, he's got some good stuff this week. App Fabric Caching. So, this used to be called Velocity mm-hmm. when it originally came out, and then it got moved under the App Fabric team. But the idea is just based on, you know, websites, the number one issue is on performance is typically database load, so people use an intermediary cache so that it can take hits off the database and just read in data that doesn't need to, say, be processed in a database. CLR objects, XML objects, images, binary data, whatever it happens to be. This Scott goes through in 10 minutes, shows you can actually set up App Fabric caching.
Yeah.
So how you can use PowerShell to monitor, how you can basically see if the service is running, how to put things in and out of the cache.
Step-by-step guide.
Yes.
Thank you, Hanselman.
Yes, exactly. And really, we should just get him to do like all the tutorials on how to actually use the product.
We should get him to do that.
I mean, I know he doesn't have enough on his plate, but...
He's got enough time to build his own PC. He can do this.
Yes. Hint at later. Speaking of Hanselman.
More Hanselman. So this is how Hanselman has cleaned up his iTunes library. And if you read the post, you'll find that he's such a fan of iTunes and its performance on Windows. But what he's done here is he's got some files that might have been moved, changed locations. They're showing up as dead in his iTunes library. And he wants to get rid of those. He wants to remove the duplicates. There's some tools out there that'll say that it does it, but he's showing how to do this with C#.
Yeah. I think that's probably one of the cool things about iTunes. It does have a COM automation library.
Yeah.
So I use these for InnerTube when we were, say, programmatically adding items directly into iTunes. But it is cool that it can go through and see if something is, or you know, find out which version is the higher bit rate one, and remove the lower bit rate one. So some cool stuff for those of you who wanna.
And we learned that Hanselman has 6,330 MP3s from this post.
Yeah, I want to see the receipt for all of those.
Yes, it'll be audited now.
Him and I were talking just recently on this, and he was talking about the service where it basically took his CDs and converted them into MP3s.
Yeah.
So his whole CD collection to MP3s automatically, rather than having to rip each one.
Yeah.
So he does own real licenses.
At least some CDs he has.
Sure. Sharp keys.
Nice. I like this.
Yeah, the idea is it allows you to, it's a C# project that allows you to remap keys on your keyboard. So a couple things it won't do is it won't do multiple key presses. Like you can't map like, you know.
Control X or something's not going to work for
exactly
the letter
right.
A.
Exactly.
Because I want to hit Control X every time I have to type an A.
All right. But if you wanted to do that, some of the new Logitech ones have, the gamer ones have macro records that allow you to do combination keys, which I really like. Well, at least in the gaming scenarios. But if you, for example, want to turn off your caps lock key, want to, you know, make something a little easier to use, one of the common ones I'd say is for keyboards is sometimes, the volume controls or the display settings will be those weird function keys that you have to do really weird things to.
And
you can
make
it
other color. You have to find the corresponding colored key.
So you can try and make that a little easier. But definitely check out the project. It is another open source app. Now, you were talking, you wanted to actually have this across PCs, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, if I use a bunch of different PCs, and if I have come to the place where I want to swap out keys for different ones. When I move to another machine, I'm probably going to want to do the same thing. So it would make sense to have some kind of cloud backend on this where I could just go to a machine and perform the function that, that swaps out the keys that I like. But, you know, I don't want to put extra code on people. So just an idea.
Well, it's one of the things maybe Windows Live Sync, if there was a, this is one of the things that Windows Live Sync, and I've just switched from Mesh to Sync.
Yeah.
Nick Fillingham has a video on that, but if they had like a nice little API or a place to register your app settings, such that you could say, hey, if somebody's using Sync, they can sync their settings across all PCs. That's the one thing that, you know, that you could use this for, but of course you need
that'd be nice if you change your keyboard settings on one PC, it's just not on all of them.
Yeah, and you could do that on for any PC, just register these are your cross machine settings.
$1 million idea, we give it to you for free.
Exactly. Power GUI Visual Studio extension. So the idea here is PowerShell. You've done a bunch of videos on PowerShell.
I have done a bunch of videos on PowerShell, and one of the things with PowerShell that makes it difficult is knowing the syntax when you're typing. So this will help with that.
Yeah. What would you recommend in terms of videos that you've done for somebody to get started on PowerShell?
Oh, I would say just look for the PowerShell tag on Channel 9.
Okay. But the point with here, like you were saying, is this is an extension of Visual Studio that adds IntelliSense and statement completion syntax highlighting for PowerShell. So if you're not familiar with PowerShell, just getting started with what the commands are can be a real pain. This at least gives you that extra step and makes it easy. So and includes some PowerShell snippets, too. So for like common commands, it'll have reusable templates, if you will.
Nice.
Debugging MS build files. So MS build files, or you know, are typically SLN files or CSproj files. And you know, we were debugging one of these for
we had a hairy problem with an app that I was doing for the Surface computer here in the studio, and the problem that you tracked down. Well, this could have helped with that.
Yeah, it was. There were some references where it needed some version of libraries that it didn't need, or something like that, and it was an MS Build issue. Well, one of the problems with MS Build, in fact, the Visual Studio blog post that this is from, they were, quote, surprised that debugging MS Build files was the number one requested feature.
Yeah.
But now they've added a way to be able to actually debug MS Build files. Now, there's a lot of caveats here, it's not supported. They do want feedback. There are some times when it's inaccurate, and there's things you have to know about the way the MS Build works. Like, it does multiple passes to make sure all the properties are right and something else, and yada, yada. So, read through. There's a two-part, and you can find out a lot of information that will really help you understand what's going wrong with your MS Build files and be able to debug them.
Yeah.
So I love that they're looking at this, because obviously it's not just us.
Yeah,
It's the entire development community that has some problems with MS Build files. So they're gonna fix it, and that's gonna be a good thing.
Nice.
And
pick of the week.
So you were on Hansel Minutes.
I was on Hansel Minutes. So did a little podcast, and you were on yesterday, right?
Yes, it was
feeling a little under the weather too.
Yeah, I don't know if people can tell. I have a cold sweat right now, but I am feeling.
We have the chum bucket behind the chair over there.
I am feeling horrible.
Aw. So did Hansel Minutes podcast, and Scott is going to be building a God's Own machine, is what he's calling it, the GOM.
Right.
And this is a machine that gets a across the board Windows Experience Index score of 7.9. That's a tough score to hit, and he's got a $3,000 budget, which makes it especially difficult, because things like getting a 7.9 on your disk drive require you to have a RAID of SSDs.
And really?
Yeah. Well, as far as we can tell so far, if you really want to guarantee you're going to get a 7.9, you need an SSD RAID.
Wow.
So RAID 0. So it's a little challenging, but it looks like he's spec'd out everything that he can get a 7.9 for under $3,000. So it is possible.
Now, we've talked about WeShare before on This Week on Channel 9. And last time you were on This Week on Channel 9, we talked about WeShare.
WeShare.net, if you haven't seen it, is a place where you can go to upload your Windows Experience Index scores to the cloud. You can put a badge on Facebook that'll tell everybody, all your friends, about how great your machine is or how lame it is if that's unfortunately the case. And we did use WeShare.net for a lot of this because you can sort by scores for like the graphics card and find out which graphics cards get a better score. And you know, right now, NVIDIA cards are at the top of the list. So that was how we made a lot of our choices.
And what somebody has somebody scored 7.9 across all?
There is a 7.9 that showed up just before we did the podcast.
Wow!
So, there is one in there, and it looks like a heck of a machine.
Like, did they get a prize or something? Like,
well, you know, that's the thing is there's no personally identifiable information on WeShare.net, so
no,
we don't know who it is.
And we did do that just so we wouldn't have to deal with all the PII issue and drama and all that stuff.
But if you have the 7.9 machine, if that's you and you want to send me a screenshot, I don't know, I'll send you a nice postcard or something from Channel 9.
Yeah. I think this is super cool. I actually want to see... I should enlist. I think we were talking about enlisting you guys to do the what's the highest Wii score you can get with $1,000 and then $2,000.
Yeah. So if you have different price points, you know, what's the best machine that I can build myself? And this is all about building your own machine. I mean, we aren't talking about any kind of off the shelf stuff here. My comment in the video was the podcast was that. You know, like a Jedi, if you want to be a Jedi, you build your own lightsaber. If you really want to be a geek, you have to build your own machine. I mean, one of the things, I've always built my own desktop, and one of the things that comes with that is you have a bunch of problems, and that's how you learn to troubleshoot a lot of different things as the problems that you have when you build your own machine. So it's been very helpful for me, and I always enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I think I built my own machine, but luckily my wife has a ton of experience building hardware, no joke. So
nice.
She definitely helped with the actual assembly parts where it was...
Hold on to that one.
Yeah, tell me about it, because putting the heat sinks on looked very scary to me.
Honey, can you help with the heat sinks?
Oh, God, the heat sinks! What is this glue? All right, so my pick of the week, this is from Trust and Robotics, called this the Holy Grail of Robotics. That's their term. But it's a robot where you have it goes into a web app or Windows app where you tell the robot to go fetch this specific beer. Robot will drive to the fridge, find all the aisles, and there's columns of beer. Know which beer is which, not by say memorization of 1, 2, 3, 4, but by actually looking at them. Take a beer, and it can actually go back to you, give you the beer. And it can even open it.
Nice.
So the future is
cans
here.
Cans too, or just bottles?
It was just bottles in this example. But
right. Twist off or?
No, it, can opener. It
okay.
used a can opener.
All right.
And it was kind of scary. Now, some of this, you'll see, they actually like do 3x the time. So it could be a long while of going.
By the time you've waited for the beer, you're sober. So that.
Yeah, exactly. So cans may be best. But this is cool. This is very cool, and it's a. You can find more details about the project on the PR2 robot website.
Very nice.
So excellent. Thank you, Larry. I know you are sick too.
I am, and I figured that's why you invited me is because I think I got you sick. So.
Yeah. So we will after this crawl into fetal positions, and thank you all for joining us on This Week on Channel 9.